Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll do this every Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you the message of truth. We would also invite you to watch our TV program that airs right after this broadcast on Public Access Channel 6 from 8 to 8:30 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. All the previous radio programs are out there in MP3 files that can be downloaded. Also, the TV programs are there. If you want to review one or you want to go back because you missed one, you can do that. And there's also a host of other things, including a free Bible correspondence course that we would be glad to send you through email if you would like to do that. We also have an invitation to home studies. Anything that we can do and help you, aid you in your study of God's Word, we're here to do that. At the end of this broadcast, you'll begin the meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. This morning, we are continuing our discussion of an overview of the Bible, and we are in the New Testament, and currently we're in the book of 2 Peter, and this morning we're going to examine chapter number 2. In chapter number 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "So there are also many false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." Yes, false prophets are a reality. There were false prophets in the days of the apostles in the first century. There are false teachers among us today. And they bring in destructive heresies. Why are they destructive? Because they are contrary to God's will. And things that are contrary to God's will are sinful. And sinful things that men practice separate them from God, Isaiah 59:1-2. Even some of these destructive heresies deny the Lord who bought them with his blood on the cross, and they bring swift destruction on themselves. And unfortunately, many follow their destructive ways because the truth is blasphemed, because it is spoken against. And they do it by deceptive words. And they do it, and they're not idle. False teachers are alive and well in the 21st century, and they're always busy trying to destroy the Lord's work and trying to keep people from obeying God by the philosophies and the human theology of men that are things that are contrary to God's will. And so we must understand that false teachers, yes, they're to blame for the false teaching, but yet we must be careful that we don't fall prey to it by searching out the things that were taught to make sure that they are according to the truth. Verse 4 says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment," you can read that account in Jude verse 6, "and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to all those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that a righteous man dwelling among them, tormenting his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." Now, notice that God did not spare the ancient world. The ancient world was destroyed by a flood in Genesis 6-9, because their heart was evil continually, Genesis 6:4-5. But Noah, while he was building the ark for 120 years, he preached and tried to get men to repent. That's why he's called a preacher of righteousness. And when they refused to repent, when they refused to turn back to God, God destroyed them with a flood and destroyed all the ungodly outside the ark. In Genesis 19, we see that he destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities in the plains and put them into ashes and condemned them to destruction. Why? He made them an example of any who would live afterwards in an ungodly way. And they tormented Lot, who was trying to live for God, who lived among them and saw firsthand their filthy conduct that tormented his righteous soul from day to day. Now, there are many people, if you go and read Genesis chapter number 19, that says that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was their lack of hospitality. Wrong. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was homosexuality. If you remember in the account, they pounded on the door and wanted Lot to let those men that came to visit him out so they might know them. Now, the word know them in the Hebrew text means in a carnal, sexual way. And so these men were homosexuals. And because their conduct was so disturbing to God, he told Lot to get out with his family because he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plains. Now, notice what is said. We have said that this was an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. That's ungodly conduct. Now, God loves a homosexual, but he must leave that sin in order to please God. God will not save him if he continues to live after that manner. And the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah are a living testimony of God's attitude about that sinful way of life. Verse 9 says, "Then God, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." God can deliver us out of temptation by giving us a means of escape, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. But he will reserve the unjust under punishment. There's a day when men will give an account of the things that they've done and an accounting to God and will be judged according to the actions of their life. Read 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these are like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. They're presumptuous, they're self-willed. They're like brute beasts. They act by their desires instead of controlling them and practice the self-control that we examined last week in looking at the Christian graces. And they speak evil of things they do not understand because they don't seek to understand. And they will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness. And those who count pleasure to carouse in the daytime, they are spot and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. You see, they do the evil. They have eyes full of adultery. They're full of sin. They will receive the wages of unrighteousness. What are the wages of unrighteousness? Spiritual death. Read Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Read 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. God's coming, sending his son in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are unstable souls that are trained to practice their ungodly living by giving in to their fleshly lust. Verse 15 says, "For they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." That's talking about Balaam and Balak in Numbers chapter 22, when they went after the woman of the Moabites and committed sexual sin. But he rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. Balak, donkey, talked to him and told him that God was displeased with him because he did not go and tell Balaam the words of the Lord. And so he was also killed when the Moabites were destroyed for their sin. Balak was also killed with them. Now, it says in verse 17, "These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they lure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who lived in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whom a person is overcome, by him he also is brought into bondage." You see, in these verses, it simply says that these men who speak such unrighteousness and deceptive things are like wells without water, clouds that carry no rain. These are things that are empty. They are useless. They have no power. They have no good validity. And they speak great swelling words of emptiness that have no meaning, have no power. Why? Because they live through the lust of their flesh. And the ones who have actually escaped by those who live in error. They promise them liberty, but they are slaves to corruption. The devil can never make good on his promises. He promises freedom and liberty, but he cannot deliver because those who practice sin become a slave of sin. Read Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. Now, one of the most common teachings today in the world of religion is once saved, always saved. That once a man enters a relationship with God, he cannot be lost. I want you to listen very carefully to how the end of this chapter reads, beginning in verse 20. For if, after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. You see, you can turn back. You can, after you've escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've obeyed the gospel. You released yourself from the bondage of sin. As Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15 talks about, one of the reasons that Jesus came was to break the shackles of sin, that you can leave that and escape from that by your initial obedience to God, but then you become entangled again. You go back to that which you left. You go back to practice the ungodliness that you repented of and you turned away from, and then you go back and begin to practice it again. The Bible says the latter end is worse for you than in the beginning, that it had been better had you never known the way of truth than to know it, than to turn aside from it and to walk away from the holy commandment delivered to them. And he uses as an illustration two things: a dog that vomits up and then eats his own vomit, and to a sow, having been cleaned and washed, then jumps back in the mud and gets covered again and wallows in the mire. That's what God compares the Christian who escapes the pollutions of the world, who obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, has his sins washed away by the blood of Christ, and then becomes entangled in sin again and becomes in bondage to sin again. Can man do that? Yes, they can. Why? Because they're a free moral agency. Man's free will doesn't end after his initial obedience to God. He still has to make good decisions. He has to make good choices. And it is possible to turn away and to become entangled with that which man left. And when he does, listen to the words of Peter, who wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Why? Because they know what God has promised for the ungodly. They know what the end result's going to be for those that live outside of the law of God. And they practice such things knowing that God is not going to accept them in that conduct that is unbecoming of a Christian. So yes, you can fall. That's why we must continue to grow, and we must always look for the way of escape that God applies when we're tempted, so we don't yield to that sin and fall back to become a slave of sin. Thank you for listening today. Tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue to finish the second book of Peter. Please come and worship the Lord with us today.